Glory, 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 glory. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen, amen. We're glad you're here. And we're glad you guys are out there on, in social media land. And glory.
Hallelujah.
What a God we serve. What a God we serve. So, open your Bible, book of Genesis, Genesis 39. And, wait a minute. No, we're past that now. 41. Genesis 41. I want to bring you a teaching on the subject matter, the will of God is abundance. The will of God is abundance. I know we've talked about that before, but I've been thinking the last couple of days. I'm like, Lord, as much as I know about this subject, I should be doing a lot better financially than I am. You know, just musing with the Lord and say, Lord, I know a lot more about this than I'm experiencing. What's up with that? Hallelujah. Ah, glory, glory, glory. And I imagine that's where most of us are, you know. Those of us that have learned a few things about this subject matter, we're not experiencing as much as we should be. Which means we gotta know even more and go over the same things over and over and over until it starts working like it ought to be working. Amen. Amen. That's all the solution. The word. More of it. More of it. More of it. More of it. Remind ourselves of things that we think we know. God's will is abundance. Yes. Genesis 41 verse 37. Well, we'll pass that. Let's look at verse 40. Let's start from 46. This is a story of Joseph, of course, as you know, we've been talking about it for a while. Joseph in Egypt interpreted Pharaoh's dream, and he's now in charge of carrying that dream out. And Joseph was 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And Joseph went out from the presence of Pharaoh and went throughout all the land of Egypt as deputy pharaoh. Glory to God. And in the 7 plenteous years, oh yeah, God's will that all, every year be plenteous. In the 7 plenteous years, the earth brought forth by handfuls. Abundance. And he gathered up all the food of the 7 years which were in the land of Egypt, that laid up the food in the cities, the food of the field, which was round about every city, and he laid he up in the same, and Joseph gathered corn as the sand of the sea. Oh, oh, oh wow. Very much, until he just quit numbering it. It was too much. Why bother? Why waste time trying to number all of this? That's just too much. Just too much. For it was without number. That's the will of God. Jesse the plant he said, and I believe it, you really can't doubt it if you know them with the Bible. If you ever wonder about the will of the God of God, read Genesis 1 and 2 and Revelations 21 and 22. You know the will of God. The Garden of Eden was the will of God. And heaven is the will of God. Everything in between is fixing the mess that Adam made. And we partook of it. God's will is abundance. Hallelujah. No doubt about that. I've said this in the past. I haven't said it lately, but I'll say it again today. If it's not ungodly, and it's not immoral, and it is not illegal, and you want it, God wants you to have it. see, that blows the natural mind, but not the mind of the spirit. Because if your mind is in the book, you have no problem agreeing with that. If it's not immoral, it's not illegal, not ungodly, and you want it, why not? Why not? Because he can afford it, see? He can afford it. His will is abundance. All right, here's some scriptures. We'll go through some of these scriptures. Some of them we will not, but let's start. Look at Genesis 13. God's will is abundance. And all of us, really, I dare say that, in fact, that's scriptural. All of us, every single one of us, without exception, are living far beneath where we should be. That's if we believe that he is what the Bible says he is. Huh? If we believe that his streets are paved with gold, and that he loves us, that we are his children. And he is a good God, a good father, right? Amen. That provides abundantly, has provided abundantly for his family. Then what's the missing link? Must be us. Must be our lack of knowledge about how things really are. Genesis 13, of course, Genesis 12, he promised Abraham he was going to bless it. And here he comes. Glory to God, here he comes. Verse 2, Genesis 13, 2. And Abraham was very rich. he didn't even just say he was rich. Very rich. My goodness. Very rich. In cattle, in silver, in gold. Just spelt it out. So there's no debate about, what do you mean? Let's look in the Hebrew and the Greek and this and that and find out what rich means. Spell it out. Glory be to God. Amen. Look at verse 5. And Lot also, just because he was with him. So your abundance is supposed to spill over to your family. Glory to God. Because they are so close, because of that proximity to you. And Lot also, which went with Abraham, he too had flocks and herds and tents. And the land was not able to bear them. My goodness. So see, over there in the book of Malachi, we read over there, and I will pour you blessings such as there's no room. And then we'll read them. Most of us don't believe it. That can't happen. I mean, that's just one of those things you read just to allegorical, all of that. Well, it says right here that the land was not able to bear them. How would that work today? I've said this before, bears repeating. Sometimes folks are, and you that are watching us, all it would take for that is, you know, if you received, I was going to say, God bless you, but he already has blessed you.
Amen.
That's not the issue. And bless me. The issue of us receiving what he's blessed us with. I was going to get to this earlier, later, but since I brought it up, let's just go to it. Look at 2 Peter chapter 1. Let's just establish it. Amen. Amen. He has already blessed us.
Amen.
It's not on his end, it's on our end. Amen. Hallelujah. When Jesus died, everything was prepared. Supper was made and ready. We just got to come up and eat. The 23rd Psalm tells us he has prepared a table before us. Not preparing a table, gonna prepare a table. He has prepared a table before us in the presence of our enemies. What's that? Lack, disease. And all we got to do is come up, pull up the table, and help ourselves. The bowl of healing.
Amen.
And the bowl of financial prosperity and the bowl of peace and the bowl of love and so forth. It's not on him, it's on us. 2 Peter chapter 1, look at verse 2. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge. That's the key. We don't know enough about this like we should. That's what we've got to keep talking about. The knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, we should know, according as His divine power hath given unto us. Not gonna give, thinking about giving, hath given, has already done it. The reason why we don't have it in the measure that we ought to have it is because we haven't received it in the measure that we ought to receive it. That's it. And the solution to that is more knowledge about it, which means more teaching. Oh, Jesus. Put your finger there, go to Mark. You got more than one finger, right? Go to Mark chapter 6. Jesus encountered a similar problem, issue. And his solution is the same. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He never changes. His solutions work. Why change it? Huh? Book of Mark. Mark chapter 6. Thank you, Lord. Mark chapter 4, he went to his hometown, began to teach all that. We'll get to chapter 6. Okay? It starts to teach in verse 1, chapter 6, verse 1. And he went out from thence, came into his own country. His disciples followed him. And when the Sabbath day came, he, you know, as usual, began to teach. Look at verse 3. Is not this the carpenter? The son of Mary? The brother of James and Joseph and Judah and Simon? We know him. He's one of us. He's a homie. And how many sisters here with us? So Mary had sisters. He had girls. She had girls too. She didn't remain a virgin. That's the Bible. Amen. She had Jesus, and then she had James, and then she had Joseph, and then she had Judah, and she had Simon. Not counting their sisters. Okay, that's a rabbit trail, but. And they were offended at him because he knew more than they did, see. Instead of receiving him, they were offended. But Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, but in his own country and among them, his own kin, his own house, and he could there do no mighty work. Did you notice? He didn't say he would not. He said he could not. Jesus could not. Jesus could not in his hometown. Because they were familiar with him. They wouldn't receive what he had to say. They wouldn't believe it. Therefore, he could not. Jesus could not. Somebody needs to hear that. He could not. Not he would not. He couldn't. He wanted to, but he couldn't. You know how it is. You want to help anybody. You want to help folks in your hometown. Right? And these are folks. Some of them are kinfolk. So if anybody, you want to help anybody, you want, but no, he was too familiar. We saw you running around with your diapers. You come here telling us this, you don't know more than we do. Who the blankety blank do you think you are anyway? And that hindered him. It hindered him. You could not. Where God can do anything he wants to do. No, not in your life unless you cooperate. If that were not the case, everybody would already be saved. Amen. So your healing and your financial prosperity is not up to God. It's up to you. See, that should be empowering. It's up to me? Oh, wow. You mean it's not up to my supervisor or my boss? It's up to me? Wow. Let's tell me more about this. That ought to be our reaction, right? If it's up to me, I want to know. Because I won it yesterday. All right, so So they wouldn't let him. He could not. Now, here I read all that to show you his solution. He could not do any minor work except for, you know, a few minor things. That's what some religion actually say. Look at his solution in verse 6. And he marveled because of their unbelief, and he has a solution. And he went about villages teaching. The reason why they wouldn't, he couldn't do any mighty work is because they didn't believe him. So he taught them who he was. And bore witness with who he was from the scriptures, from their own scriptures. And so go back to Peter now. I didn't forget about Peter. Go back to Peter. Talk about knowledge. The solution is knowledge. The solution is knowledge. 1 Peter, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2. Grace, peace, be multiplied through the knowledge. The more we know, the more we can believe for. Amen. Knowledge. Jesus went about teaching to impart knowledge. Preaching inspires you. Teaching informs you. Once you get born again, you know, preaching is good every now and then. To inspire you and so forth. But you have to have teaching. And so, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God through Jesus our Lord. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things. Not some, all of them. When God gave us Jesus, he gave us everything. Put your finger there. Go to Romans. You got another finger, right? I'm just endeavoring to follow the Lord. Oh, boy. I can see that. Okay. Romans chapter number 8. When God gave us Jesus, he gave us everything. Look at Romans chapter number 8. Look at verse number 31. Romans 8:31. What shall we then say to these things? If, or since, God be for us, who can be against us? Including poverty. Did you know poverty is a spirit? Book of Proverbs says that. If you had another finger, I'd have you turn to that, but you don't. I got all my fingers taken back. He that spared not his own son. You know who that is, do you not? But delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also surely, freely give us all things? If he didn't spare Jesus, why would he spare anything else? Jesus was the most prized. Possession is not a good word, but you get the point. That he had. And so he had given us all things. So go back to Peter now. He has given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. But see, there we go again. It comes to us through the knowledge. Through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue. By the way, the first use of the word glory in the Bible has to do with stuff, material possession. Not halo around your head. That's a part of it. But the very first mention, Genesis 31, I believe verse 1. Again, if I had enough fingers, we'll go there too, but you can check that out. And so the solution is knowledge. Knowledge. He has given us, not going to give us, has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and honor. And so go back to Genesis 13 now. Where we were originally. God blessed Abraham. made him very rich. Not just rich, very rich. And so he did the same for Lot. So much so, Genesis 13, 6, the land was not able to bear them, that they may dwell together. They wanted to dwell together, uncle and nephew, but they could not. They could not. Too much. Too much. And then, of course, the devil, verse 7, began to stir some strife. Strife is a thief. You hear me? Strife is a thief of your money, of your health, of your relationships. It's a thief. You don't get in it. Don't get in it. With anyone, with anything. Don't get in it. And that's exactly what the devil wanted to do. To cause strife so he could steal and kill and destroy their prosperity. But God had a plan. Told Abraham, let your nephew take the best part. And he did. And not that the nephew took the best. You know this story, right? We don't have to take them real long. After he did that, look what happened. Here comes more. Here comes more. I said, very rich was not enough. Look at verse 14. And the Lord said unto Abraham, after that Lot was separated from him, lift up now your eyes. My goodness. And look from the place where you are at. Look northward. Look southward. Look eastward. Look westward. Where else is there to look? For all the land which you have seen, which thou seest to thee, will I give it unto thy seed forever. So now, not only is Abraham very rich, God has set it up so his seed too can be very rich. They'll do what he tells them to do. My. Did you notice? He said, all that you see. If you can't see it, you can't have it. If you can't see it, you can't get there. We talked about it earlier. My. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Now, that's just one scripture.
Okay.
Genesis 26, verses 12 to 14. Isaac was so rich. The ungodly envied him. You know that, right? If you don't know it, write that scripture down. Look at it. Isaac was so rich, the ungodly envied him. Imagine that. Who? Do you know that the richest person on the planet ought to be a Bible-believing Christian? Amen. That's what I was talking about. As much as I know about this book, the richest person on the planet ought to be a Bible-believing child of God. But you know it's not. I looked it up, actually. One of them said that they are a cultural Christian. I said, what does that mean? Oh, Lordy. One of them said, the other one said, religion is good. You know what comes out of that, right? But. But I'm not a Christian. Religion is good. My goodness. Yeah. The richest person on this planet ought to be a Christian. Because of where we're supposed to get our stuff from. Well, Genesis 36, verse 67. Jacob and Esau had the same experience with their grandfather and, I guess, cousin. Let's look at that one. Genesis 36. They too were so blessed, the land could not contain them. I started to say earlier, today, all this means is, if you were to receive, That's why I took off and started talking about God has already done everything for us. We just got to receive. If you were to receive $1 million cash, you couldn't put it all in one bank. Hmm? There would not be room enough in that one to contain your money. Woo! Glory to God forever. There wouldn't be. You'd have to put, you take four banks. Talk about not having room enough. Right? Because the federal government can only guarantee, you know, $250,000. So if you put all $1 million in one bank, they'll take it. But you'd be risking the rest of it. If the bank folds up, you lost your money. So you wouldn't do that. That wouldn't be wise. The law wouldn't want you to do that. So if you have $2 million, that's 8 banks. You could get to where the banks in your city couldn't contain your money. My goodness. I think I heard Jesse say that. Woo! Glory, 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 glory. Amen. Amen. All right. So Genesis 36. Here, Jacob and Esau come to bury their dad. And after that, look at verse 6. And Esau took his wives and his sons and his daughters and all the persons of his house and his cattle and all his beasts, excuse me, and all his substance, his stuff, which he had got in the land of Canaan, and went into the country from the face of his brother, not because he wanted to, but because, verse 7, for their riches were more than they might dwell together. Apparently, this is God's pattern. Huh? For their riches were more than they might dwell together, and the land wherein they were strangers could not. My goodness. Could not. Bear them because of their cattle. Now, so much cattle, they needed so many acres of grazing land, they just had to part ways. My goodness. God's will is abundance. No doubt about it. God's will is abundance. Look at Job chapter 1. We'll take our time. Look at next Sunday. If this is what God wants, it must be the best for us.
Amen.
Where's Job? Book of Psalms, Job. Job Psalms. Job chapter 1. Glory to God. God's with abundance. Joseph gathered so much grain. Started counting them and then just threw up his hands and said, what's the use? It's too much. What's the use of carrying? Just too much. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Job chapter 1 verse 1. Bible scholars tell us this is the oldest book in the Bible. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was a perfect man, meaning he was mature. That doesn't mean he didn't do anything wrong. He was upright. He wanted to fear God. And stayed away from evil. And there were born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. His substance was also 7,000 sheep and 3,000 camels and 500 yoke of oxen and 500 she-asses and a very great household. Not just great, very great household. Lots of folks in this household. Imagine the grocery bill. So that this man who feared God, and he eschewed evil. This man was the richest, is what the word greatest means. He was the richest of all the men of the East. My goodness. And God did it. God did. Somebody says, well, Pastor, you're reading into the Bible. It doesn't say anywhere there that God did it. Well, I'm glad you asked. Look at chapter 40. Let me prove it to you. Let me prove to you that God did it. Chapter 42. Look at chapter 42. Look at verse 12. When it was all said and done, you know about the stuff the devil tried to do. Verse 12. So the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than the his beginning.
Oh, so it was the Lord who did it then. Didn't it?
And if you count, it's exactly double.
Wow.
Exactly double. He had 7,000 sheep, now he has 14,000. It's like God said, I'll show you then what I can do. He had 3,000 sheep, now he has 3,000 camels, now he has 6,000 camels. If you look it up, it's exactly double. And he got exactly the same number of kids he had before. Amen. I wanted to show you. You know, somebody said, well, the Lord didn't do that. You just put it out. Maybe he was an old sheikh or something. No, he did it. Says right there in verse 12. God's will is abundance. Psalm 23 verse 1. You know, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Did you notice it says shall not want? It didn't say need.
Amen.
Huh? Want, not need. That's another word the Lord has instructed me not to talk about anymore. And I've been doing my best to obey. Need this, need that, need that. Because see, need speaks of poverty. Speaks of lack. Huh? God wants your mind on abundance. More than enough. Because unless you have more than enough, you can't help anybody else. Huh? Too busy trying to help yourself. That's why you have to have more than enough. So, I do my very best not to use the word need. I need this, I need that. That means you ain't got it. Bible says he has blessed with all heavenly blessings. Given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. He has already given to you. But you keep saying you don't have it. That's why you haven't got enough of it yet. And so I'm training myself to get more, to get to another level. Huh? Another level. Making my mouth conform to his word. Do you need this? No, I don't need it. I want it. Huh? What's wrong with that? Same difference. You communicated just as effectively. Did you not? Why you gotta say need? Do we need to go? No, it's time for us to go. Why you gotta say need? Why you gotta put need in it? Think about it. Why you gotta put, it's totally unnecessary. Do you need this? No, but I'd like to have it. Same thing. But see, the devil's got us saying need. So we have, so our mind is need conscious instead of want conscious. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. You might say, well, I didn't Philippians say, my God shall supply all your need. Well, you can keep saying that if you want to. But I'm going to stay with Psalm 23:1. He was talking to them where they were. Are you there? Are you still there? Fine. I'm not. I'm looking to go forward. I'm looking to climb. I'm looking to bigger size. Glory to God. And you're looking to downsize. So, no. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Psalm 115 verse 14. You can read that down. We're not going to read it. The Lord shall increase you more and more. You and your children. More and more, he says. Ooh, you know, part of the issue, I've said it before, I'll say it again. Part of the issue here is we are too impressed with what little bit we got. We're too impressed with it. Too impressed. You know, God is this and that. Too impressed with it when it's really nothing compared to where we ought to be. And that's holding us back. As individuals, as families and as a church, as the body of Christ. Remember now, you can't go where you haven't been. Glory to God. Amen. You told Abraham, everything your eye sees, huh? You can have. What does that mean? Your imagination. Thank you, Lord. Look at Proverbs 10. Let's read this one. Proverbs 10. We're talking about the fact that God's will is abundance. There's no question about it at all. And this is old covenant after all. Well, I'm not getting myself. All right. Proverbs 10. Look at, let's start from verse 21. The lips of the righteous feed many. How can lips feed? See what I just told you about? Words. Words. God gave us words not just to communicate with, but to change our world. Did you get that? How did He create this world? He used His words. And He has given us the same privilege because we are His children. He lives in us. When we take our words and we make our words conform to His word, it will change our world, including our pocketbook, and our health, and our families. That's why lips can feed many. Ah. But the fools die for want of wisdom when their lips can get them wisdom. Huh? How? By asking He who is all wise. Put your finger there. Go to the book of James. James says exactly the same thing, doesn't he? Fools die for want of wisdom when they could easily get it. Thank you, Lord. Look at verse number 5. James chapter 1, verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, what should he do or she do? Ask God. Amen. Why? Because He will give it to you. That's why. Hallelujah. I've said it before, I'll say it again. Don't you ever again, ever, never, ever, never, ever, never, never, ever, ever, never, never, ever, never, again, say, I don't know what to do. That is one of the most, what shall I say? Useless statements a Christian ever made. Here you got in you He who knows everything about everything, and you're standing there saying, I just don't know what to do. That's like looking at the glass of water, cold water, in Texas, hot summer, ice in it, and you're standing there talking about, oh, I'm just so thirsty. Oh, I'm thirsty. I'm just so thirsty. I know if I drink that water, the thirst will disappear. But oh, I'm just so thirsty. I'm thirsty, I'm thirsty, I'm thirsty. That's what you're doing. Starting to talk about, I just don't know what to do. Well, have you asked Him that knows what you should do? Well, He says, let him that lack wisdom ask. Huh? Ask the Lord, because the Lord has all the wisdom you could ever want. And it says right there, doesn't it? He will freely give it to you. You ask in faith. He giveth all men liberally, freely. You just ask in faith. That is expecting to receive, not being religious about it. How does that happen? All right, so you heard what I just said. So next thing that comes up, you say, Lord, Thank you for wisdom in this situation. I believe I received wisdom to know what to do. And then you go off, pick up a phone, yourself, call someone and say, I just don't know what to do. See that? Mm-hmm. You just cancel your prayer. Mm-hmm. You are double-minded. It's just right there, too. You're double-minded, right there. Verse 8. Let him ask in faith. Verse 7. For let not that man think that he may think because he's double-minded. He has a lot about wisdom, believes he receives wisdom, and then goes up talking about how that he doesn't know what to do. That means he doesn't, he just cancels their faith. Don't do that. Don't do that. Go back to Proverbs 10. Proverbs 10. 21. The lips of the righteous feed many, but fools, don't be a fool. Amen. Ask God, He'll give it to you. Fools die for want of wisdom. The blessing of the Lord it. So now the blessing is a force. It's a spiritual force. You know how when somebody sneezes, they say, bless you. What we're saying is a lot more powerful than we know. The blessing is a force, a spiritual force from God. That is a whole nother topic. So it says, the blessing of the Lord, it makes you rich. That just means it will lead you and guide you and help you make wise decisions, wisdom, set your affairs in order, and lead you in that direction. It will make you rich, and it will add no sorrow to it. All like the devil's system. Because this is God's will.
Amen.
It's abundance. If it were not, He would not be giving you wisdom to get rich. Make it rich. So, why does God want us to be in abundance? I've already talked about it somewhat. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 8. There are two answers to that question. One of them, I think, we sort of run over it and don't pay much attention to. Why does God want us to be in abundance? The very, 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 very first reason is simply because we are His children. Amen?
Amen.
Oh, yeah. We have a boy and a girl. We have two kids. We have two grandkids. Guess what? I want every one of them to prosper. Mm-hmm. And I have daughter-in-law. Want them all to prosper. I mean, that's natural, isn't it?
Yes.
You want your sisters, your brothers, your children, and uncles, and nieces, aunts. You want your family to prosper. God is no different. And the better off you are, the better off they should be. In the case of parent and child, that's the very first reason. If nobody were lost, if nobody had to be born again, saved, and we didn't have to have any money to go preach the gospel, God would still want us loaded. Loaded. Because we're His children. Amen. It's as easy as that. But since we live in a world that is full of the devil, folks lost and undone, the other reason is so that we can fund the preaching of the gospel. It's right there. Deuteronomy chapter 8. We can be a blessing to others. Look at verse 18. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 18. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God. For it is He that gives you power to get wealth. If God didn't want you to have wealth, He would not be giving you power to get it. Otherwise, He would be an accessory to a crime. Would He not? Oh yeah. Oh yeah. My. How can you read that and doubt? what God once was. He gives you power to get wealth that he may establish his covenant, which he swore unto thy fathers, as it is this day. Amen. Somebody says, well, he's talking about fathers. Abraham is father of the Jews. He's not just about the Jews. Abraham is your father of faith.
Amen.
As well. Besides that, the gospel, the Bible calls us, the epistles call us the Israel of God. Glory to God. See, folks, the devil tries to bring all sorts of, your father's there. That doesn't mean you, because talk about Abraham, the Jew, see. Okay, so this is, just about every scripture we read so far is the first covenant. Now, what about the second covenant? And I've asked God. I have talked to God. I said, Lord, I see Abraham. And we didn't even talk about David and Solomon. We saw all these folks in the Old Testament. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Job, David, Solomon. How come we don't see individuals in the New Testament like that? You get my point?
Mm-hmm.
He told me Jesus is the person you're talking about. I thought, okay, yeah, that does it. That does it. Anybody that can take two fishes, five loaves, and feed 15,000 people is richer than anybody has ever heard of. Amen?
Amen.
Ooh, glory. Anybody can tell a fish to bring him his tax money, his IRS money. He has got it going. Glory. Ooh, glory. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. But here's what the New Testament says about it. Here is a scripture that covers it all. We somehow the Lord saw it fit to give us individuals and show us how he prospered individuals in the New Testament, in the Second Covenant. He gives us a number of statements that if we believe them, more than equate the individual examples we have in the Old Covenant, in the First Covenant. See, that's something else I'm trying to change. First Covenant, Second Covenant. Sounds better than old and new. Hebrews chapter 8, look at verse 6. But now hath he obtained, talk about Jesus, a more excellent ministry, than the priests. By how much also he is the mediator, unlike the priests, of a better covenant. That's our covenant. And it's better. Because it is established upon better promises. Because of better blood. Hallelujah. And so if what we've just read about some of the first covenant characters is so, how much more those of us of the new covenant, of the second covenant, that's better, with better promises, because of better blood. Amen. 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 But that is not the only scripture we have to go by. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 8. The will of God is abundance. More than enough. Overflowing. What did Jesus say? Give them shall be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together. Running over. What for? For the benefit of those around you. And further away from you. As many as the Lord would lead you to be a blessing to. You can bless them. That's the running over. That's why the running over. Because it's about you, but it's not only about you. Oh, glory.
Amen.
2 Corinthians chapter, let's go to chapter 9 first. Woo! This is a scripture along with Hebrews 8:6. Another one we're going to read, that more than makes up for the fact that we don't see individuals in the New Testament, we see the rich young ruler, all of that, but not like compared to Old Testament, but we do have these scriptures. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8. God is able. It's not his fault. As much as you want to receive, God is able to make all of his grace, his power, to get wealth, that is, part of it, to abound towards you, be readily available to you, to the effect that you can always have all sufficiency in all things. And here comes where it spills over to other people. And may abound to every good work. That's rich. That's very rich. Huh? Oh yeah. That is rich and very rich. All sufficiency in all things, so you can abound to every good work. You gotta be rich to do that. Very rich to do that. You gotta have all of your bases covered. Huh? I've got all the houses I want. Winter house, summer house, playhouse. Ooh, if boating is your thing, got me the boat I want. Got me the airplane I want. See, some folks don't even think that. See, like I said, he told Abraham, if he can see it, you can have it. If it's not ungodly, it's not immoral, it's not illegal, and you want it, he can afford it. Glory to God. And what I just described it just really quickly. The ungodly have it, do they not? Mm-hmm. And then some. Why couldn't children of Almighty God not enjoy that? Because we're not expecting it, really. It's part of it. What does it? All right. Look at still in 2 Corinthians, look at chapter 8. Here's another stupendous scripture. Whoo, glory. 8:9. Remember this now. 2 Corinthians 9:8 and 8:9. They're all good. For you know, or you should know. Here again, we'll talk about knowledge. Remember knowledge? You should know the grace, the power, the ability, the enablement of our Lord Jesus, the Anointed One, that though he was rich, yet for your sake, he became poor. Now let's establish when. There's a moment in time Jesus became poor. After that point, Jesus was not poor when he went around preaching. Again, like I said, anybody that can feed 15,000 people just like that is not poor. Amen? How long will it take you to feed 15,000 people? Amen. But he became poor. Jesus became poor. Exact moment that he became sin for us. That's it. He never sinned. All of his earthly ministry. Still didn't sin at all. But he was made to be sin for our benefit. Our sins were put on him. But guess what? Our poverty was also put on him. Well, guess what? Our sicknesses and diseases and arthritis and lupus and all of that was also put on him. That's why it ought not be on us. Because he took it to the cross, nailed it to the cross. Glory to God forever. Amen. So that we might be free. Amen. But see, here we go again. Too many of us don't see that. We do see. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We see nothing wrong with a little pain now and then. Huh? A little ache up here now and then. We get to be 40, 45, and we think it's okay to, you know, I'm losing my mind. Oh, God. I'm not losing my mind. I don't know about you. I'm never going to lose my mind. I lost my natural mind a long time ago when I became a Christian.
Because I received Jesus, I have his mind. And his mind is not forgetful. Glory to God.
Amen.
Jesus doesn't have dementia. Never had, never will have. Neither will I.
Amen.
Because I'm his child. I have his DNA. I have his genes. Glory to God. I'm giving you what to say.
Amen.
Yeah, but my family. Oh, I belong to a new family now. Glory to God. I have a heavenly father.
Amen.
I come from him.
Hallelujah.
I'm a chip off that block.
Amen.
Glory to God forever. Woo! I'm teaching me happy. Do you see that? See? Do you see it? It's available. It's been given to us. But do you see it? That's the question. And when you dare say it, see, faith must be in two places.
Amen.
I posted on Facebook about that last week. It's not enough to be in one place. Not enough. Must be in two places. If it's only in one place, not good enough. It's like having two combinations to a safe. Just because you open one combination isn't going to let you into the safe just yet. Huh? You got to open the other one too. Look at Romans. Romans chapter 10. Right there. Put your finger on this. Let me show you that. Romans 10. Faith must be in two places. Look at verse 9. Romans 10, 9. That if thou shalt confess with your mouth, the Lord Jesus shall believe in your heart. It's not enough to be just in the mouth. It's not enough to just be in the heart either. Got to be in your heart and in your mouth. Plenty of Christians have it in their heart, but they will dare not say it. Because I'll be lying if I said I'm healed when there's pain in my body. Well, how could you be lying saying what he says unless he is lying? Hallelujah. Faith must be in two places. If it's in one place, not good enough. Not going to get the job done. Thou shalt confess with your mouth because you believe in your heart. See, got to be in two places. Thou shalt be saved. Keep reading, verse 10. For with the heart man believes, that's not enough unto righteousness, but it is with the mouth, a confession, is made unto salvation. And that word salvation in the Greek doesn't just mean salvation and saving go to heaven. It means deliverance from sickness, from poverty, from disease, from depression, oppression, all of that. It's an all-inclusive word. Not enough to believe. Got to speak it. Got to confess it. Got to declare it. It wasn't enough for God to want to create a universe. He had to say it. Oh, my, my, my. Whew. So, go back to 2 Corinthians chapter, where were we? Chapter 8. That's my time. Oh, my time's up. For you know, verse 9, you should know. If you don't get knowledge, if you know a little bit, know some more. If it's not working like it ought to, that means you don't know enough yet. So keep exposing yourself to teaching on the subject. Because faith cometh when you hear God's word, you believe it, and you act on it. If you haven't heard it, you can't believe it. If you hear it and believe it, you got to act on it. But you start with hearing it. Hear it, believe it, act on it, receive it. So much depends on hearing it. Because if you don't hear it, there's no possibility of you receiving it, believing it. Ah, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus, the anointed one, that though he was rich, for your sake he became poor. Talked about when that happened. Why did he become poor? Why was he made to be sin? Huh? That ye through his poverty might be rich. The day is coming. Closer than we have
known in the past. When Christians would quit thinking that R-I-C-H is a dirty word in church. Out there, they don't think it's a dirty word. They buy bingo tickets, they buy the lottery tickets, all of that, trying to get rich. We'll come in the church and we'll talk about it and they act like, yeah. Let the devil mess them up. Out there, they don't want it. Some of them steal and almost kill to get it. Jesus was made to be poor, that we might be made rich. Since he has already been made to be poor, we've already been made rich. Are you getting that logic? And all that remains is for to receive more of it. God's will is abundance. Thank you, Lord. Next week, we're going to talk about how to receive it. We've sort of gone into it some, but our time is up. Father, we thank you. Oh, how we praise you and we bless you.
Yes.
What a loving Father you are. What a loving plan. What loving provisions you set aside for us. We are heavenly trust fund kids. I thank you that more and more of us Christians are finding out that we don't have to live by the dictates of this world and the failing economic systems of this world. We can live by heavenly economics, by your word. Thank you for further revelation on all of this. We praise you, Father, and we bless you. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. My friend, do you know Jesus? He died for you. He lives for you, actually. He's been knocking at your door to allow him to come in there and be your tour guide in life. That's what it means to be a Christian. To let Jesus be your tour guide in life. To let him boss you around. That is something. He's the only boss that can boss you in a way that is best for you. Not for his own benefit. He gets benefit from seeing you smile. It benefits him from you being happy. Like a parent, right? That's what parenting, family is all about. You're happy when your family members are blessed. It begins with receiving him, though, as your Lord and Savior. So don't put it off. You put it off long enough. Receive Jesus today. Today is the day of salvation. Hallelujah. What do you have to do? I'm glad you asked. All you have to do is repeat what I'm about to lead you, pray I'm about to lead you to. Now, again, just like we just read, just saying it to your mouth by itself means nothing. You got to be believing in your heart and then saying to your mouth, that's when you get the benefit of it. Okay? So if you're serious, say this after me. Say, Jesus, I believe that you died for my sins. I believe that you were raised from the dead. I believe that you are seated on the right hand of the Father. I receive you now as my Lord and my Savior. Thank you for forgiving me of all of my sins. Thank you for this brand new start today. I yield my life to you for you to lead me and to guide me through life. Lead me to a church that will teach me how to live a victorious Christian life. I receive my prayer language where I can communicate with you and leave the devil in the dark. I thank you for my health, from the top of my head to the soles of my feet. I receive healing. Thank you for my family. Thank you for my vocation or my job. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. My friend, if you said those words with faith in your heart, He has now become your Lord and Savior. And all you have to do now is to listen to what He tells you to do and do it. How would I know He's talking to me? Oh, you know. He is the best communicator there is. Huh? He will say it in such a way that you can get it. But I give you a pointer. Peace. Judge what He is saying to you by the peace in your heart. Not in your head. Your heart. He is the best communicator. He will customize His directions to you in such a way that if you're serious, you can tell. Again, you can judge by that piece. Okay? If you live anywhere around here in the Austin area, come see us. We got plenty of room here for you. If not, keep listening, because we'll be back here same time next week. In the meantime, walk by faith, not by sight. Amen. Praise the Lord.